Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God. Over the years, I have studied different religions, and when you go back into their beginnings, where they started out, when you study their ancestral books, you can clearly sometimes find out why they do some of the things they do. They will have traditions that have become godliness to them. It reminds me of an interesting story I heard about a lady who cut off the wing of a turkey which she was going to bake for Thanksgiving. And her husband asked her, "Why do you cut off the wing, that wing of that turkey?" And the lady said, "My mother did it too." Well, the husband said, "Why don't we ask the mother why she did it?"
And they phoned the mother, and she said, my mother did it. Then the husband and the wife phoned grandmother and asked why she cut off the wing of that turkey. And she said, my mother did it, so that's why I did it. So they called great-grandmother to find out why she cut off the wing of that turkey. And great-grandmother, in her 90-year-old weak voice, told them, because my pot was too small, I couldn't fit the turkey into it, so I had to cut off the wing. And this is what the traditions are of most religious organizations. Somewhere along the line, somebody came up with a bright idea that was good for that time. But now it has come to a point where it has become the religious ideology of the religious system. And I could name a few of those, especially when it comes to dress code in different religions. Very interesting. At the same time, these traditions and these ideas has taken over. They have buried the cross in the debris of their traditions. The cross of Calvary is secondary to the commandments of men. And this is what the reality of most religions is, regardless where you look to. And we know that Satan is the one that started it, that was behind it, and they need to find the root of these things, and they'll find out they've been following something that Satan somehow has brought to the forefront and made it important so that the cross can be buried so people will not see. Today I want to teach on the importance of the cross of Calvary. I want to teach on the simplicity of the cross. And before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord Jesus Christ to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the signs of the times. I pray that you will open people's hearts to the truths of their religion so that they can see the deception. I thank you, O God, for your grace, and I ask you to bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, there's an interesting scripture that goes like this. But seek you first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. When one studies that scripture, you would all of a sudden get the idea that God is talking about the material things that the world has. You'll have houses, you'll have lands. Of course, there's a promise in the Bible that you, if you follow God, there are people who do get to possess these things. But to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness does not mean that you'll become rich in this world. God uses riches in many cases, but how many people can he allow to have riches? How many people are able to handle riches without the riches destroying them? This is why we see so few Christians who are really rich. It's because it would destroy them. And I believe God is not allowing it for that reason. But seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is simply this. You have to become born again by the Spirit of God. His righteousness means that righteousness that he has will be given to us, and then all these things shall be added unto us. Think about it. Whatever Jesus has will be added unto us. whether it'll be here on this earth or in heaven. One of these days, we will see him like he is, and we will receive what he has promised. Because it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. And if you become born again, then you receive his righteousness. Then you qualify to receive whatever the Lord Jesus Christ has. And that, we have to understand, he is the king of the universe, and he owns everything. Can we receive that righteousness in ourselves? I have preached over and over and over again, a human being is dead in trespasses and sin, and he cannot achieve the righteousness of God by some religious exercise. We have to remember, without holiness, nobody will see God. You have to be pure, you have to be perfect, and without that, you will not see God. So the perfection and the purity of God needs to be placed onto you. You cannot achieve it for yourself. In Romans 3, chapter 10, it tells us this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, nor there is none that seeks after God. Before a person becomes born again, how does he operate? One day he's good, one day he's bad. In reality, he doesn't really seek after God. And if there are some who do, they are very few. But most who seek after God are just into religion, operating in religious pride. That's what a human righteousness is. Listen to the scripture found in Romans chapter 10 in verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. This is the problem with most people. They're ignorant of the righteousness that God demands, and that means perfection. So they go about to establish their own righteousness. You just have to walk down the street. You see people in their dress codes, especially the woman, how they are trying to establish their own righteousness by the way they dress. I remember talking to some lady who told me how holy she felt in the dress that she wore. By the grace of God, that lady has turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now she knows and sees what true holiness is. But before she really knew Jesus, she felt that the dress she wore was holiness unto God, which in reality is nothing but idolatry. And people don't see that, they don't understand that, because this is what they have been taught from the womb. We need to read the Word of God. What is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is not just something that you conjure up. You can't do it, because Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 6 tells us this, but we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind has taken us away. So on and on we can share scripture on the how a human being is. I have not found a scripture where the Bible teaches us that a human being has any good in himself. And the reason is this. We were sold out in the Garden of Eden, and we took on the nature of Satan, because by rebellion, Adam sold us out, and now we are all the sons of a rebellious forefather. And until Jesus comes with his salvation and we turn to him, we will stay rebellious. We will stay unclean and unrighteous until Jesus changes us. This is why I constantly teach a person needs to get born again, because the Bible teaches us, regardless how good we are all an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. No, it doesn't even talk about our unrighteousness. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. The good things we do, if we try to somehow appease God with them, it is nothing but filthy rags in God's eyes. So this is why Jesus had to come. He had to pay the penalty for the unrighteousness, for the sin of the people, which was given unto us when we became born. Yes, Satan in the Garden of Eden tricked Adam and Eve into giving their allegiance to him. Thus, they were separated from God. They became unclean. The glory of God left them. Now they were naked and ashamed, standing in their filth. And God said to them, one of these days, I will send somebody that will straighten this out. And he did. And that person was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He paid for the sin penalty of every human being upon this planet. He took your sin and my sin upon himself. The Bible teaches us he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's how thorough God cleansed us at the cross of Calvary, that we not only lose our sins, they're not only covered and taken away, we at the same time inherit the righteousness of God. And the Bible teaches us, without holiness, without righteousness, no man shall see God. So I'm asking you today, those of you who are listening, are you righteous by God's standards? At the scale of 1 to 10, how righteous do you feel when it comes to your understanding of the Word of God? Would you be a 5, a 4, or a 10? I know when I test myself, I know in my spirit, I got a number 10. I'm pure, I'm holy, I'm perfect, and God has made me like that. It wasn't me myself. When I look at my own accomplishments, I might give myself a 3 or a 4, maybe not even a 5. I don't think I can attain a 5 when it comes to righteousness and holiness in my own self. For the simple reason I will be preaching a message of salvation, and people will get saved. And the next day I get caught up in a conversation with my wife where we start an argument, and there goes all my good intentions out the window. This is why we need Jesus, because he was pure, perfect, holy, and never made a mistake. He was the God of the universe who took our infirmities upon himself, our sins and our iniquities. And he said, I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I shall remember no more. So open your heart to this incredible God and become a blessing to yourself.
Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. He healed the sick and caused the blind to see. Thank you. Christ as it bleeds for you today. Will you let him in your heart, or will you walk away? Jesus Christ is still the same, he'll do the same for you. The peace he gives is hard to understand. He'll be the kindest, truest friend that you have ever. Christ as it pleads with you today. Will you let him in your heart, or will you walk away? The Lord who died upon the cross will come to earth one day. His coming even now is at the door. Will your soul be ready, your sins be washed away? Or will he turn his back on you and say, I know you not? What will you do with Jesus Christ as he pleads with you today? Will you let him in your heart, or will you walk away? Will you let him in your heart?
The Bible is very clear that a human being cannot enter into God's presence without being righteous, pure, and holy. We have been studying on what human righteousness is. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. We cannot achieve righteousness in our own efforts and in our own doings, regardless how good we are. The Bible teaches us that we give all our goods to the poor, that it doesn't help us anything if we don't have love, which is the love of Jesus Christ. So how does one enter into the kingdom of God? The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 1, but now the righteousness of God without the law is being manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It tells us there is a righteousness that is being witnessed and manifested by the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I study different versions of the Bible, it tells us it's our faith in Christ that gives us righteousness. But the King James Version words it a little bit different. It says, by the faith of Jesus Christ. So I want to explain it this way. The Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly who is ready for salvation, who is truly repentant. He is the one where he places his faith in that person. It's by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're out there and thinking someday I will believe in Jesus for salvation and I'll be saved, you may miss the mark, because the Bible teaches us today, if God calls, harden not your heart, for it is today when you hear the voice of God, where he places his faith in you, and then you reach out to Christ for salvation. If you're going to reject that offer, if you're going to put that aside, you may miss eternal salvation for the rest of eternity, because once you close your eyes in death, it is over. There is no more chance. Now listen to this scripture in Romans chapter 5 in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Look at this scripture. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What does that mean? In the Garden of Eden, the first Adam, he sold us out to Satan. He was disobedient to God, and thus we were made sinners. We inherited the sin nature of Adam. But it also says, but by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. So Jesus Christ was obedient. He came, he paid for your sin and my sin, and thus we become righteous in God's sight if we accept this Jesus as our Savior. When the Bible teaches us that we should call upon the name of the Lord today, it means that tomorrow could be too late. For we don't know when we're going to pass on into eternity. And if we pass on into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, these people will spend the rest of their eternity separated from God, never to see light again. This is the sad truth about this whole situation. Those who turn to the Lord for salvation are going to have an eternity of joy and peace and tranquility. But those who reject this Christ, those who don't want to go for his salvation, they will have to spend their eternity separated from God, no more hope, forever and ever being tormented in the eternal lake of fire. So open your heart to these interesting truths, for this is Bible. I read these scriptures from the Bible. I did not conjure them up myself. And what the Word of God teaches is true. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.
We'll